Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yo.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be for February 16th, 2018. And so, as usual, some shit went down this week, but it was also, let's just say that the awfulness of the shit level was somewhat elevated, because we basically had, we had a lot of shit.
Yeah,
get to it. We'll get to it, but you're probably already going to know, if you've been paying to the news here in the U.S., what the first one's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just, we're going to go through this fucking debate again, and I don't know if anything's going to be done about it this time. We don't exactly have the best track record, but we'll get to all that. On top of all that, we're going to have some stories from the Winter Olympics. They're happening in Korea. Some of you may know that there was actually the unified Korean team this year with both athletes from both North and South Korea involved. We've also got, and as far as those Winter Olympics, there's all those statues. You'll know what we're talking about when we get to it. Also, we're probably all going to drown. Yeah, eventually. And, of course, there's the fucking Batman anime. Oh, man, does it look awesome. And we're going to talk about it. All this and more on everybody's favorite show of the weekend, Let's Weekend. So, with all of that to get us started, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, not dying, so that's a good thing.
Yeah,
always good. Much better this week, so.
Good.
That's a good thing. Cough has pretty much disappeared, so I'm all good there. So, yeah, back to mostly normal there. I've been watching a few things here and there, like the Grand Tour. I think they did the last episode of the season this week. They said they were doing 12 weeks, but I'm not sure. It was only episode 11, and they said it was the last one, so I don't know. but it was one of their long cross-country type trips. This time they were in Mozambique.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to end world hunger by carrying fish from the coast to a remote village. And it went probably about as well as you'd expect.
So, yeah.
Some fun times there. Apart from that, well, I've been going through my PHP course. I've got a pretty substantial module done, and yep, feeling good about that. Next one I got to take on is cookies and sessions, so that's going to be fun to learn how to manage. And I haven't even gotten to the database stuff yet, so that's going to be real fun when I get there. But besides that, that's all going well. World Warriors and Smash Pad stuff are progressing.
Yes.
Yep. So I expect more stuff to happen there in the next few weeks. Still not thrilled with the general site theme that we got, so might revisit that. But apart from that, it's coming along. And on the gaming front, I picked up Secret of Mana yesterday. I've been playing that. It's Secret of Mana. Except with full voiceover.
Which is a bit strange.
Well, it's got Japanese and English voiceover, so you can pick which one you want.
Yep.
It's the art style is, I don't know, it's divisive to some people. To me, it looks kind of weird. It's not anything that's going to stop me from playing the game or anything. It's just, okay. I kind of feel like if the SNES had more pixel power, it probably would have looked similar. So, yeah, it's pretty good. It plays pretty much the same way you'd expect it to. It's streamlined in some elements that you would hope it would be. So, good PS4 version of Secret of Mana, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time with that. You can be sure of that. I'll probably talk a little bit more about it on Day Zero update once I've had more time to really dig into it. But, good stuff so far. So how about you, Pat?
Yeah. A lot of World Warriors stuff. Almost ready to talk about one of the main site features. I just want to get it a little further build up before I pull the curtain back. I'm really hype about it, and it's something I'm probably going to be putting my entire 3-day weekend into. I've given a few Street Fighter players that I know personally a sneak preview, and they're really hype about it. So I've got really high hopes for what's coming together here. I really think it's going to be a valuable resource throughout the community once everything's in place. I also received a shipment today containing an arcade twin stick called a Pandora's Box, which is basically two arcade sticks and all of the arcade games under the hood. Haven't had much time with it yet, but it certainly plays a good game of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and I look forward to modding the shit out of it with Sanwa parts. May also even have a hardware review in the pipeline.
Yeah, it could be fun to do. Yeah, the Pandora's Box, it started out as just an arcade cartridge.
Yep.
But they decided...
Some genius decided,
They just decided to manufacture them as standalone consoleized sticks, so...
Yeah.
Why not? I want to get my...
Well, I mean, you can turn a Raspberry Pi into a super gun. Do it.
Yeah. It's not even a Raspberry Pi. It's something else, but...
Oh.
It's... Yeah, cool.
That's the overarching idea, I think.
Yeah. That LED lighting... It's just
on a chip turned into a super gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that LED strip, though, is just dumb. I don't know if yours has that, but...
It has one. I don't mind it. It's blue. It's appealing to the eyes, so... Yeah. I don't hate it. Cool. Actually, I might get some Simitsu buttons to go with it.
Yeah.
That might look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, other than that, just writing. This ties into both World Warriors and Smash Pad. I've got plenty of reviews to write. Plenty of fighting game community insights to jot down. Yeah, it's going to be a productive weekend, to say the least. So that's been my week.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So one of the things I did is I got around to watching the Steam Power Draft 10th anniversary concert they did a couple weeks ago. They offered people that weren't going to be able to attend a digital concert ticket, which they put up a video of the concert afterwards a couple days later. Along with about an hour's worth of behind-the-scenes footage of them rehearsing and all that, which was nice to see. It was only $20. It seemed like a pretty good price for that. It was a good show, especially seeing all the old band members, which they ended up bringing them into the show in kind of the way that sitcoms do, like, oh, somebody's at the door. Look who it is. It's this person that hasn't been on there. And since one of the leads came out as transgender and has gone through her transition and all that, they added a little bit of jokes pertaining to that. Like, people would say, oh, you look a bit different than the last time I saw you. And she's like, oh, I got an upgrade. All right, I let my hair grow out. Stuff like that. It's like, mm-hmm. Nice little jokes. Yeah, it was a pretty good show. Also been watching Last Week Tonight, the most recent season, because the show comes back this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to sort of go back through last year's news, which, holy shit, kind of forget how much happened, especially with regards to the president. And that's a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, he doesn't even get to everything either.
Nope.
But yeah, that was interesting to jump through. And sort of looking at some of the stuff that happened. Like when he talked about coal and especially Murray Energy, which sued them immediately after the show, went up for defamation and all that. Which I think is still ongoing. I might have to look it up. But yeah, it's a good show. The trailer they put up for this season it's just him. They're trying to do the intro, sort of talking about, oh, he's going to cut through all the bullshit. The narrator's talking about it. And he just constantly gets notifications for crazy shit that happens. And it's a pretty good summary of how things have been. It's like, oh, you're trying to go about what you're doing, and this stupid thing happens. As for games, I've been playing more Shadow of the Colossus. I just beat the 8th Colossus, which might be one of my least favorites. It's the one in the arena. To just give a little hint of what it is for people that haven't that have played it, because it's one of the few where you're not kind of riding on a Colossus. You're kind of just trying to hunt this one down, essentially. And it's not nearly as fun. I also died during it, the first time I died against the Colossus, just because I did not get out of the poison cloud it shoots at you fast enough. I did die one other time. That was while I was going for the 7th Colossus. I noticed with my sword that there was a collectible nearby. So I went looking at this rock and got up on top of it and immediately fell through it down into the world and just under the world until I fell onto the invisible ground and died. Found a nice little bug. Just happened to this one seam in this rock. It's a very bad rock. Stay away from the rock. I put a video up on my YouTube channel of that. Yeah, other than that, it's been really fun going through that game and sort of revisiting these areas and being able to even find some new stuff in there. I found going towards, I think, the 6th one, that there's this, you go through this kind of forest. And I found, oh, there's this little cave area. And it ends up being a place for a trophy, but there's like a specific like chest in there. There's nothing in it that you can get, but it's just, hey, this is a neat little story thing that somebody was in here. Hold up. But yeah, there's nice little touches in that game that aren't just on the main path. That's, it's pretty cool to be able to find that sort of stuff. I picked up Bayonetta on the Switch, and that game is pretty good. It controls way differently from any other action game I've ever played. Because initially you'd want to hit the X and Y buttons for your attacks, and that's not how it works. Y is your gun. X, the top button, is your main attack, with A being the strong attack. And so I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. I'm still pretty early. One of the weird things about this on the Switch is that you cannot. It allows you to do video capture, but not during the gameplay. It's only cutscenes and like menu stuff, which is weird. It's like, here's all the titillation bits. You're free to record those. It's like the opposite of what a lot of Japanese games do on PS4, which is just block the cutscenes.
Wow.
This one's like, hey, go for the cutscenes. Don't show anybody any other part of this game. It's just a weird thing. Yeah, I've been playing a decent bit of that and marveling at this weird Joe Pesci character that's all over the beginning of that game.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is this? It's not even trying to hide it as something else. Like, this guy sounds exactly like him. He's constantly complaining, like Joe Pesci does in his movies. I haven't got a chance to try any of the costumes, the Nintendo costumes yet. I thought I had one set up, but I guess when you go to save and quit, it does not really save costume choices. So I went to go start back up. I was just in the normal costume. But yeah, you don't need the amiibos to unlock at least the basic ones. Peach, Daisy, Link, and Samus. But they do have a bunch of other costume unlocks. Like, depending on which the... there's like two Bayonetta ones, I think. those unlock a bunch of different stuff. I think it lets you unlock like Bayonetta 1 costumes and Bayonetta 2 and vice versa. And there's some that offer other things. It's weird. Yeah, it's like, but I saw like list of things and it's like, oh, use a Link amiibo to unlock Link. It's like, but it's already unlocked. What's going on here? Yeah, it's a bit expensive for Bayonetta 1. It's $30. Seems like that should be 20. But if you buy that, you get the other one for $30 to match it up to $60 total. Instead of paying $50 for Bayonetta 2. But if you go the other way, it drops the first one down to 10. Which I think people figured out if they got the special edition on the Switch that includes a code for the first one. You redeem that, and then you can get the second one digital for $30, which I don't know if the math works out at any point in that. Seems like you're at best coming out even in that if you're getting that special edition version. But yeah, it's pretty neat. It has a little bit of frame rate issues here and there. But other than that, it's a pretty good game. Look forward to digging more into that. And I've also been playing some Mad Max on the Xbox One. It's on the Game Pass. That's sort of one of their quests for that for this month, is to play that for like 5 and 10 hours for different rewards. That game's fun. It's a little bit weird being a sort of melee combat-focused game versus Avalanche's other games, which have been more gun-focused with Just Cause.
Yep.
So trying to get my mind wrapped about doing the Batman combat stuff with that when it's not a particularly great version of that. But otherwise, it's got the other open-world stuff. And obviously ties into Mad Max, which is pretty good. Especially without having to have the icky Mel Gibson part of it. But yeah, it's pretty good. I guess pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, my primary gaming for this week has been, since it came out, was Kingdom Come Deliverance, which I, of course, am going to be reviewing for the site. Of course, I couldn't play it immediately. I had to, of course, have the 20 gig download go through first.
Yeah, and then the massive one patch that nobody knew about until it showed up.
Yeah. But then once I got that, I got to actually play it, and I was already pretty suitably impressed in the beginning. The game basically gives you a short history lesson before it starts, because as everybody knows, this game takes place in 13th century Bohemia in what's now called the Czech Republic. It specifically takes place after between the sort of, I guess, the sort of war secession happening after the death of Charles IV, who was the king of Bohemia and was also emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And after he died, his heir was supposed to be his son, Wenceslaus, who was apparently a little too hedonistic for the nobles' liking, so they ended up siding with his half-brother, Sigismund, who then had his guys kidnap Wenceslaus and imprison him in a sort of small chateau somewhere near the border. So Sigismund is basically going around basically pillaging the countryside with his army. And so the guy you're playing with, basically he's a peasant in a village which is ruled over by a minor noble named Sir Raditz, who is, his dad is a blacksmith who is specializes in making, you know, horseshoes and stuff, but he specializes in making swords, of course. And so you're there with him and your mother there, and you're sort of having your regular peasant existence. And then One afternoon, they Sigismund's army shows up with a, which is filled up with the mercenaries. A lot of them are Tartars, who basically go down and basically raise the village to the ground, just straight. And so you basically have to flee to a nearby town, and while you're there, you decide that you have to get back to your village so that you can bury your mother and father, because as you can probably imagine, the Tartars basically kill your mother and father right in front of your eyes. So, and you go and do that, and then you get knocked out, and there's some stuff that happens. But basically, if you're expecting something akin to Skyrim, this isn't really Skyrim. Yeah, it's not that kind of game. It's very, very much a medieval inversion simulator RPG. Okay. No magic, no monsters, no goblins, nothing like that. No dragons. You can have a shield, a side weapon, and a bow, and that's basically the extent of your weaponry. There's a lot of talking in this game. It's very much, one of the things the game emphasizes is that heroics can basically get you very easily killed. So one of the things that the game tries to basically get to you is to try and keep a low profile. So a lot of the game is you talking and negotiating, having conversations with people. When you do get into combat, it has this very, what I think is actually a pretty unique combat system. I don't think I've ever seen in a game like this before. It's basically a, how to describe it? It's a, essentially what happens is when you're fighting, of course, you've got your weapon, and then, of course, if you've got either, you may have like a shield or a torch in the other hand, right? And, you block, and when you attack, you have in front of you what's basically a five-pointed directional module with a little point in the center. And depending on which way that you've got the pointer set is the direction that your strike is going to come from. So, like, if you're going to do like a heavy slash, if you have the little pointer pointed at the upper right, then your slash will come down from the upper right. If you're doing a particularly kinetic sword combat, it's not like in like a game where it's like you can go down and then immediately do another downward slash, because that's not where your weapon is. Then you do a slash from the upper right downwards, then where's the sword going to be? It's going to be on the bottom left, right? So the next slash is going to come up from the bottom left.
Yeah. Does it take into account weight?
Yes, it does. It does have a limit of amount of stuff you can carry with you. And here's the thing. On top of like your regular like health, like your health, your vitality, and also your the amount of energy that you have, because every time you do any type of attack or you're running, your vitality is going to drain, right?
Right.
Because you're running out of energy, you got to regain it. You've also got some other things you have to deal with, like sleep and hunger. So you've always got to make sure that you've got some food on hand with you, and you've always got to make sure that there's a place that you'll know a place is nearby where you can get some sleep. There's also stuff like, horseback riding, archery, fishing. You can do fishing and stuff too later on in the game. Basically, the game goes through a lot of effort to make this as realistic as possible. But yeah, that's Kingdom Come Deliverance. I'll have my full review when I'm at a part of the game when I think I can give a significant judgment.
Okay.
As for the rest, well, as everybody knows now, I now have Netflix. And with Netflix, I've been watching, other than Altered Carbon, which, by the way, have you still not gotten a chance to watch that?
Not yet.
Yeah, you really need to. Yeah. Seriously. But I watched two things. One, on the anime side, I watched probably the Netflix anime that's taking the anime world by storm, Devilman Crybaby. And holy shit. That anime is pure id. Like, and this is a Go Nagai property, so that's saying something. I don't really want to describe it without, you know, spoiling anything, but this is definitely not an anime to watch with kids, like, at all. It is filled to the brim with gory violence and sex and nudity in just about every episode, and there's about 10 of them. It has a very... The art style itself is very stylized, very specific to the director, who I've been told his other work is very similar. And it is... At first, like, at the first, it starts off like a straight adaptation of the original manga. And then about halfway through, it goes completely off the rails before eventually going back to what the ending of the original manga is. I won't spoil it, but let's just say that shit goes down. but it's good. It's really, really freaking good. Like, God, it's amazing. If you get a chance to watch it, you need to watch it. Just, but other than that, I watched this documentary that a friend of mine recommended to me. It's directed by the guy who produced I don't know if you guys remember a documentary called Grizzly Man. It's about the guy who was like a photographer of, you know, grizzly of, you know, wild brown bears, and at some point he cracks and becomes convinced that he's one with the bears, and then one of them eats him.
Okay.
So, a gray state. It's called A Gray State, and what it is it's a story about this guy named David Crowley. David Crowley was a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and at some point while he was in Iraq, he became really disillusioned with sort of the direction of the way the war was going and what they were doing there. And so he comes back for a little while, and while he's back, he decides that he wants to make a movie. And so he starts writing a screenplay, and he starts, like, you know, storyboarding it, composing the music for it. Dude's actually, one of the things the movie puts forth is the dude's actually pretty talented. What happens is he ends up falling into the Alex Jones crowd, and
oh, fuck.
Yeah, and so what Gray State is movie is the idea is supposed to be like a sort of near future dystopia of, like, you know, the conspiracy theory kind, where an all powerful federal government comes, starts disarming people, trampling on civil rights, et cetera, you know, that type of thing. And he ends up making up like a concept trailer for it that ends up getting hundreds of thousands of hits on YouTube. And then in, I think, 2014, he snaps and kills his wife and young daughter and then himself. Yeah, I'm just going to let that.
Yeah, these events are very incongruous.
Yeah, and sort of the whole point of the movie is sort of going through the story of how the Gray State came about, how David Crowley was working on this movie, and short of the... It starts to become very clear at some point that David Crowley's basically slowly losing his mind. And it's actually very easy to consider this, because David Crowley was really obsessed with sort of documenting his everyday life. So there's journals, there's photographs, there's video footage that he took. It's pretty harrowing stuff. But that's pretty much what I've been up to. So has anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope. Other than, well, now that you have Netflix, you can also watch Castlevania, so that's cool.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that. But all right, so I guess with that, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. All right, so for this week's Random Factoid, I thought we'd go to a subject that everybody can enjoy, the crazy, crazy lives of dictators.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the thing about autocratic rulers, is they usually tend to be pretty screwed up in the head.
Yeah.
As far as autocratic rulers go, there's probably few that can measure up to none other than Uganda's infamous, infamous dictator, Idi Amin Dada. Does everybody remember Idi Amin Dada?
Mm-hmm.
He was this big dude in his giant military uniform loaded with medals, and, you know, he... He had all these self-aggrandizing titles he gave himself. His full title, believe it or not, was, here you go, you ready for this?
Yeah.
His Excellency, President for Life, Field Marshal Al-Haj, Dr. Idi Amin Dada, VC, DSO, MC, Lord of all the beasts of the earth and fishes of the seas, and conqueror of the British Empire in Africa in general and Uganda in particular.
That's not some shy. Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah.
Not shy, is he?
Something you should know about Uganda, they never conquered England.
Mm.
Like, ever.
Yeah.
He was, in fact, so you're probably wondering, so how the hell, what did he use to justify this shit? Amongst other bizarre garbage he got up to. So one of the things you need to know about Amin is that he was absolutely obsessed with Scotland. If you ever saw that movie, The Last King of Scotland, with Forrest Whitaker playing Dada, it makes it clear he was weirdly obsessed with Scotland. He once jokingly laid claim to the Scottish throne. He actually offered to marry Queen Elizabeth and lead the Commonwealth. He started wearing Scottish kilts. He'd uniform his soldiers in Scottish regalia. And when people started mocking his rule for what was at the time Uganda's crippling famine, he created the quote-unquote Save Britain Fund by taking a truckload of food from starving peasants and offering it to the UK.
That'll learn him.
Mm-hmm. Back when he showed up at a diplomatic conference in Uganda, he actually rounded up four local British businessmen and forced them to carry around on a sedan chair.
Nice.
He actually offered a Swedish diplomat to follow around behind him with an umbrella.
Yeah, okay.
As you do, I guess.
he infamously had a conversation with Moshe Dayan and Abba Iban, who were at the time the defense and foreign ministers of Israel, respectively. And when he had this literally completely serious conversation, he wasn't joking at all. He said this. He said to Moshe Dayan, "I would like 24 Phantom airplanes." "Why?" Dayan asked. He said, "Amin says, I need them to bomb Tanzania." And then Dayan, he leans over to Ebon, you know, the guy next to him. He says, "This guy's crazy. Get him out of here." Of course, he said it in Hebrew. And then in 1978, he actually decided to invade Tanzania. By the way, just so you know, if you've got access to a map of the African continent and compare Uganda to Tanzania, you know something you'll notice? Tanzania is 5 times bigger than Uganda.
Ambitious.
Yep. And the whole thing was, of course, a massive disaster. So then Amin pulled up stumps, and he fled to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. So Idi Amin Dada, the man who conquered England in his own imagination.
Crazy person.
Yeah. By the way, for those who are curious, he died in 2003. So he spent 78 to 2003 in Saudi Arabia. Oh, and one of the funny things, so I think the last king of Saudi Arabia passed away. Amin actually was invited to the funeral. Guess what he did? He wore the damn Scottish kilt. Because, of course.
Of course he would.
Yeah. And that, everyone, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. And you thought Muammar Gaddafi was flamboyant. Okay, so I guess we now got to start the show proper with the asshole of the week, and fuck it, you already know who it's going to be. The guy who went into the high school in Parkland and fucking murdered like 17 people and injured like a dozen others. This is now literally the deadliest high school shooting in United States history now. Like, it actually tops Columbine. And we're not going to say the dude's name. You can already find it everywhere on the internet. And his face, too, because they did actually manage to get him alive.
Well, of course, he's white.
That's what I was going to say. Duh, he's white. And remember, Trayvon Martin only had some Skittles and a Diet Coke on his on hand. This guy had a fucking AR-15 with a bump stock.
Yeah. And he's 19.
Yeah.
Florida seems to be one of the laxest in terms of gun laws.
Yeah.
You don't need a license. Sellers don't need a license. It's a felony to create a background checklist.
Yep.
So it's like,
you can't do a background check in Florida.
You're basically just asking
for trouble.
Like,
yeah.
To happen.
And because of that, 17 kids are dead. Well, no, it was like, I think it was actually like 14 kids, and like the other three were adults.
Few adults.
One of them was this.
The high school assistant coach / security guard.
Tell what was the assistant coach name? Because if we're going to do any names, we'll do the actual victims.
Yeah, was it FaZe? Aaron FaZe, I think it was?
Yeah, yeah.
He was the assistant coach for the football team, also security guard in his off time.
Yeah, this was the dude. This is the big dude with a beard, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah,
so
the story was that dude actually like stepped in front of the students with his arms out wide, trying to block the bullets from them. Like, yeah,
yeah,
dude's a fucking hero.
Yeah,
I kept going.
And it was interesting seeing one of the things Twitter had was about how as a result of, you know, we've had about 18 of these mass shootings in schools this year.
Yep.
And obviously recent events over the last few years, teachers now have to get training on how to deal with active shooter situations.
Yeah.
And it was particularly about them actually thinking about what items they have around them as potential ways of either taking out a shooter or distracting them. It's mm-hmm. like, that's really fucked up compared to when we were in school, where our biggest worry was, I don't even know what.
Like around here, gang violence or something like that.
Like around here, because we're near Akron, which is a big rubber place, like nuclear war because of that.
Like that
was a place to get bombed. That was like our worst, which is a pretty big thing to worry about, but
yeah,
as we can see, there's no real worry thing to worry about. Mm. Yeah, like active shooter stuff, like my current workplace definitely had some training on that.
Yeah.
Learning like their different codes for, oh, this is for, there's a shooter, and you should be, you know, trying to stay out of their sight at any point, find a way out of the building, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. Basically, there's no safe point.
Nope.
You know, churches, schools, movie theaters, malls, there's nowhere.
Nope. No place. Well, let me put it this way. After Sandy Hook, when the dude killed, like, little kids that were, like, younger than 10, and they didn't do all about it.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is different about this one is that networks were actually talking to the kids and parents.
And yeah, and the kids and parents are making very clear what they think.
Yeah, the kids are basically saying, what the fuck are you adults doing allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
Same with the parents. Like, why? I send my kid to school because that's the safe thing to do.
Yeah.
Now we no longer have a kid. Yeah. You know, and it's not because it's supposed to be dangerous. It's because guns were brought into this place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say it. You can shove your thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, people definitely on Twitter were very much being aggressive. There's one account that was specifically quoting any senator that was offering their thoughts and prayers with how much money they've been paid by the NRA.
Mm. And some of those kids and their Twitters have sort of, you know, the attention they've gotten has skyrocketed in the last couple of days because they are actively putting our government on full blast. Like,
as well they should be.
Yeah.
Because Trump says things like, oh, it's not a gun thing. It's like, no, that's specifically what killed so many of these kids and adults.
Yeah. And then that turd knocker, Mark Dice, shows up and he's like, you know, he's like, hey, can somebody tell millennials that when there's a school shooting, they shouldn't, you know, videotape it, they should call 911? And then one of the survivors of the shooting is like, hey, motherfucker, we called 911 so much they actually told us to stop.
And the FBI was actually tipped off about this kid.
Yeah, like a couple years, actually. Like back in 2016, I think.
Yeah, though specifically it was about a month or so ago.
Yeah.
They were supposed to forward that to the Miami branch to actively investigate it, and somehow that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoops.
And by the way, go ahead. Also, would it surprise anyone to find out that this kid was a neo-Nazi?
Not in the slightest.
No, but there was claims about that, and it seems like that was very much a 4chan troll.
That's what they keep saying. Because apparently it was the...
It's so much that that he was tied to a specific group.
Mm-hmm.
But the people around him definitely commented about how he seemed to very much hate black people and Muslims.
Yeah.
And talk shit about them all the time. So he definitely had at least the... the racist motivation.
Yeah. For a short time, there was thoughts that he might have been associated with Adam Waffen, which, for those of you who don't know, Adam Waffen is a very, very scary neo-Nazi terrorist group we have here in the U.S. They have been responsible for killing 5 people so far. That turned out to be phony, hopefully, thank God. Most people were talking about he was apparently associated with this group called ROF, Republic of Florida.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
That's the 4chan thing that people were talking about. We do know for a fact that this kid actually took part in the NRA shooting games back in 2014. And by the way, there's an organization that hasn't said fuck all the last couple days.
Yeah, why would they?
By the way, did you know that as the shooting was going on, they put up a little thing on, what was it, either their Twitter or their Facebook, talking about, get your lover a gun for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was love spelled in guns a target. And what else? I think they eventually deleted it, so I'm not seeing it here. But everybody's like, why do you still have this up? Of course, a lot of people are also talking about how, oh, we need more guns in schools. No.
We don't.
I think studies have been done says more guns equals more, at the very least, accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've seen a story that's about the guy that's portrayed in American Sniper. He was specifically killed by another military member.
Friendly fire at a shooting range.
Yeah, PTSD. Mm-hmm. So he thought he'd take him out with one of his friends to do some shooting and see how that would work. And he got killed with his own gun.
Yep.
Didn't have the time to even pull out whatever else he had to stop him. So this guy is one of the best shooters in the world.
Yep. It turned out he may or may not have been as good as he claimed to be, but... Whatever.
Still more than good enough to qualify for that.
Mm-hmm.
So more guns isn't more
so.
No. What you need is gun laws. And I don't see that happening anytime soon because you're run by idiots.
Yeah, and the NRA is basically... Here's the thing you need to know about the NRA. The NRA, if you're a gun owner and you're a member of the NRA, you need to know, the NRA does not represent you at all.
Nope.
They are literally a lobbying arm of the arms industry. That's it.
Which is...
They used to be at some point.
Yeah.
They used to be a genuine, arms education and training organization. Those days are long gone. So I am guaranteeing you, when the NRA does poke their head out of the sand after this kind of blows over, don't let them. By the way, don't let them get off with nothing on this shit, because they fucking deserve it. They're part of the reason this is a problem to begin with.
Yeah, they are radicalizing people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this kid was.
Yeah.
And he finally got the tool, the same tool that's used in pretty much every major shooting since the ban on AR-15s expired.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
Nope.
But, and of course, we also...
Any Senate people, the president, any politicians off the hook on this stuff either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah, don't let fucking Marco Rubio, don't let Rick Scott, let any of these ass clowns.
Yeah.
You know.
The reason why there are no real major gun laws in Florida is because of, was it Rick Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Because he specifically passed laws preventing that stuff.
Yeah.
He created this situation.
Yeah, and then the fucking Kentucky governor came out and is like, well, maybe it's all the violent video games. Well, there's a blast from the past for you.
Yeah.
Jeez, you're making Kentucky look even stupider than they already tend to.
Somebody got out the cassette player and started playing their greatest hits because.
Seen this all before.
Mm-hmm. And fortunately, the good thing is, fortunately, it's pretty much gone completely ignored. So
yeah, I was like, yeah, we're moving on. It's more important things to talk about. Yeah.
And then, of course, you're going to get the occasional douchebag talking about, well, it happened because there isn't more prayer in schools. You know? Yeah. Or, you know, they've taken guns and they're, you know, they've attacked the nuclear family and all this bullshit.
And or the, you know, anything we do is not going to solve it, so we shouldn't do any of it. It's like, no, anything is better than nothing.
Yeah.
In fact, we've gone backwards since Trump came into office.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have I don't know what level of a thing it was, but it prevented people that could not handle their own affairs, mentally ill people, from getting guns, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Trump controls Z-Dit.
Mm-hmm.
Repealed it, and guess what? That very well could have been a way this kid could have been denied.
Yeah, but I want people to understand something. First of all, and this is the first thing, and it needs to be important because it needs to be said to lay a sort of a foundation here. There is not going to be any full disarmament of the United States, ever. There is at least two guns there's like two guns for every one person in the United States.
I want to say 3% of the population owns like 90% of the guns.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah. And you need to remember, you know, up north we got Canada, and folks in Canada are about as well armed as we Americans are.
Yeah, we're just more thorough about who gets them.
Yes, their gun laws are a bit more stricter than ours. Hmm. In places like over in Switzerland, they're also about as well armed. In fact, when a person comes of age, when certain individuals come of age, they're actually given a firearm by the government and are trained to use it just in case Switzerland is ever invaded.
Okay.
Guess when Switzerland has not had a mass shooting in decades.
Hmm.
Australia. Now, Australia had their famous handgun ban, and it is true that their shootings went significantly down very quickly. But there are still shootings in Australia, and they're usually gang related. The point of this is to point out that this isn't that nobody here who is really talking about this is going to suggest that we just get rid of all the guns, because that's impossible. Yeah. But this does show that actual effective firearm regulation does work.
Yeah. I've also seen other suggestions of, like, hey, people that are convicted of, like, violent criminals or crimes, you know, should be banned from having guns. People are convicted of alcohol abuse should also have – that should be more of a temporary thing.
Yeah,
because they can obviously get
if you're committed, if you're convicted of domestic abuse, definitely should not be allowed to own a firearm.
Those are small things you can do.
Yeah,
that will make big difference because that's a lot of what these are.
Yep.
Yeah. So don't do any kind of bullshit of gun control won't solve anything, because when people talk about gun control. Gun control doesn't mean we're going to round up all the guns. It means we're going to effectively control the flow and use of guns.
Yeah, and keep more bad people from getting them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they can get them illegally. Yeah, we still have drug laws, even though they can get them illegally.
Yeah.
That's to prevent the majority of people from going out and doing that stuff.
Yeah. And I know somebody's going to say, well, cars kill people every year. Why don't we ban cars? Yeah, you know what you have to have before you can drive a car?
Yeah, those are regulated.
A license.
You have to have license and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your licensing.
Yep.
Like you should have for guns.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got to keep it moving. So we're going to move on from there and wash that bad taste of our mouth with our Hero of the Week. And our Hero of the Week is Special Counsel Robert Mueller, who handed out the first indictments this week. In fact, he handed them out today in the investigation. And it was indictments to 13 Russian agents and some other Russian nationals, I believe, too.
13 and, Russian nationals and 3 Russian entities.
Yeah. So basically this all but proves that there was actual Russian interference in the election.
Yeah, I think even Trump went as far as acknowledging this, but also saying no collusion.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, keep yelling that until...
Yeah. Now, if you read the actual indictments, it'll bring up the topic of quote-unquote unwitting Trump appointees, I believe was the language used. That doesn't necessarily count out that there were witting individuals involved, but right now this is focused on these groups of Russians. We also now know that... there was, in fact, a concerted effort by Russian agents to further, bring about and, the sort of Trump viewpoint, the nationalism, the divisive racial stuff, and a whole army of bot accounts on Twitter and Facebook. Yep. It means that, this isn't just theoretical anymore.
Nope.
This shit actually happened.
Oh, there's an interesting thing here. According to the amendment, the Russians created an email address, allforusa@yahoo.com, to purport to be a U.S. person in order to send out press releases in June 2016 for a March for Trump rally to New York media outlets.
Yep.
Like, simple things like that.
Yep.
We created a Yahoo email account that probably got hacked.
Of course it did. Every single Yahoo account that exists has gotten hacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they specifically noted one person at, I forget which rally it was, but dressed up as Hillary Clinton in a prison outfit paid by Russia.
Yep. So, yeah. God. Yeah, it's... this isn't a case. This is, like I said, it's not theoretical anymore. It happened.
It happened.
The only thing that's still left is whether or not to show that Trump or the Trump administration were involved in it with foreknowledge.
Yeah. I'm sure Mueller will unearth some more stuff going forward.
Yeah. We also now know, of course, that and they also had some more charges for Paul Manafort as well. They're charging him with bank fraud, amongst some other stuff. And continuing on that story, on the first story of the proper show proper, Rick Gates is now going to be hitching his wagon on the plea deal team. So, oh man, it just gets better.
Wonder what they have on him.
Yeah. I don't know if it says... He had, they say here, he had what criminal lawyers call a queen for a day interview, which a defendant answers any questions from the prosecutor's team, including about his own case and other potential criminal activity he witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cooperation could be another building block for Mueller and possible charge, possible case against Trump or other key members of his team.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep finding things, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. He surrounded himself with some of the most nakedly corrupt individuals in American politics.
Yeah, there's that one interview Manafort did where he couldn't even look at the camera as he was trying to say there's nothing here.
Yeah.
As he stepped over his own words.
Yeah.
So.
And also, Trump keeps saying, doing this thing where he's like, and even if I am guilty, it's not a crime.
Well, actually, sort of thing. That's kind of what guilty like is. Or,
yeah.
Point that out.
It's a crime.
It's like if there is collusion, it's like it's not a crime.
It's a crime.
It's
totally a crime.
And also, you're actually implicating yourself.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, keep looking.
Yeah.
No bad guy says, and if you know I did it, even if I did do it, you can't stop me. Like, it's like, no, they are. That's how this works.
Yeah, there's many villains that say that, and it never goes well for them. So, yeah, you should at least watch some movies, Mr. Trump. It might be enlightening.
Yeah, but...
watch the porno movies.
Yeah. And continuing in the thread of government corruption, the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, it's recently been revealed that he spent about $122,000 of taxpayer money to help fund his wife's trip to Europe and a bunch of other shit, too.
Yeah. So, yes, this is David Shulkin. So he accepted Wimbledon tickets from a friend. As well as use this money to help pay for his wife's airfare to Europe last summer. The VA Inspector General released his report. His Chief of Staff, Vivica Wright Simpson, made false representations to a VA ethics lawyer. That's not a good thing to do, especially if they find out. Altered an official email to secure approval for taxpayer funding of Shulkin's wife's flights. Which costs more than $4,000. That's a lot of flights, especially if it's first class. And he told the ethics officials the tennis tickets were provided by a personal friend, an advisor for the Invictus Games, which is a sporting event for wounded soldiers. Inspector General concluded that was not the case. The Inspector General also found the excursion led to a misuse of VA resources. So Shulkin and his wife took the trip with three other VA executives and a six-member security detail, ostensibly to attend meetings in Denmark and a summit on veterans' issues in London. But half of this 10-day trip was spent sightseeing, and Shulkin even directed an aide beforehand to plan the leisure activities with his wife. The aide made extensive use of official time to make the arrangements. As the Inspector General says, this was time that should have been spent conducting official VA business and not providing personal travel concierge services to Secretary Shulkin and his wife.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what makes that all worse? It's not just that they're villains, but it's that they're just comically incompetent villains.
Yeah, this is stupid Watergate rearing its head of where this the series of events that are on the shape and scale of Watergate, but everyone involved is really bad at covering themselves up.
Yeah.
Exactly. God damn it.
Yeah.
But anyway. And continuing in that thread, guess who's being investigated now? Everybody's favorite FCC chairman, Ajit Pai. He's being investigated over a rule change to allow the Sinclair deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a deal that involves the Sinclair Broadcasting Company, I think. They are basically if Fox News was further to the right. Which is a hell of a thing.
Aren't they the media company that represents like a lot of like local television news places?
They own a lot of local network. And this deal essentially would be buying Tribune Media, which owns a ton of other local network channels. So essentially making them the biggest local news network corporation in the country.
Yeah,
push their right-wing agenda.
Wonderful.
And this deal would be for $3.9 billion. Would not have been possible without the change in rules for media consolidation, which would push the total number of TV stations Sinclair owns to more than 200 nationwide. And essentially, they have John Oliver looked into this as well as others, that Sinclair does a lot of things that other news stations don't do, which is they produce their own news bits by these talking heads who...
I think the actual talking heads, like one of them, is actually the head of the company.
Yeah, and one of them used to be in Trump's campaign.
Yep.
You're surprised?
And the thing is, the news channels that they own, which are not... The thing is, these local news channels aren't really political at all. They're just regular local news channels, right?
Yeah. A number of them would try to rebel, since trying to air some of these must-run segments, like at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Tried to undermine their requirements to run this stuff, which normal network channels do not do for their local affiliates. Mm-hmm. So they just create these things. And they also had a thing called the Terror Watch List segments, which is just obviously trying to cover terrorists, but would occasionally just cover Muslims because, guess what, terrorism isn't constantly happening.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there's an ISIS flag in this neighborhood in San Francisco for some reason.
Yeah.
And there was that whole burkini thing in France. It's like, that's just Muslim stuff. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
By the way, that thing with the ISIS flag in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's referring to that flag that showed up at a gay pride event, and it wasn't actually an ISIS flag. It was just it looked like the ISIS flag, but if you looked closely, all the characters were actually just dildos.
Yeah, that was it. Hmm. There was also the weird story that popped up of ISIS in, I think, Iraq, were just cutting 19s in half with chainsaws. Mm-hmm. It's like, this only appears in one news source that not even Breitbart would take without some concessions.
Yep.
They were just very hedging their bets that it could be false. It's like, even if you get Breitbart to buy into that, you know, something's fucked up.
So the investigation here is whether or not there was collusion into this law getting changed.
Yeah, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, so the
and it's AgitPie, so you know it's almost 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which his spokesman says, Pai's policy push is consistent with his long-held views on media ownership regulations. Note that FCC recently levied a $13 million fine against Sinclair. But the two Democratic commissioners at the FCC previously argued that the fine for Sinclair violating sponsorship identification rules should have been substantially larger.
Mm.
So it wasn't... Yeah.
Yep.
Frankly, I'm not surprised he's corrupt. But yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't get to be that kind of bloviating douche without being a little bit corrupt, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So. All right, so next up, we got this story. The Department of Education has decided they will not hear complaints about transgender bathroom access.
Yep. Just if you needed this clarified, that's the boss who doesn't get to talk about it.
They basically have washed their hands of that subject. Yes.
Sort of rolling back the Title IX stuff that Obama put in place during his last term.
Yeah.
And they're also finally acknowledging that, let's see what it says here, sex and gender identity are different things. Just for this. Like Title IX prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, not gender identity. It's like, oh, now you understand that.
Well, yeah.
Serves your purposes, sure.
But yeah. So, fucking hell. Yeah, so that's just kind of gross, I swear. It's just... But, I mean, as we saw in Parkland, when it comes to our most vulnerable citizens, they really don't give two shits about them. Nope. So, But anyway, furthermore, the director of National Intelligence has warned that there will be of continued cyber threats from not just Russia, but also China and North Korea.
Shouldn't surprise anybody.
Yeah.
Russia is actually hacking during the Olympics, just trying
to
pull up fun stuff about some of the athletes. So,
yeah.
Because why not?
Because they can.
Yeah. Sort of talking about how Russia is almost certainly going to be increasing their efforts now that the midterms are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I said we would expect Russia to continue using propaganda, social media, false flag personas, which is amazing to me that that term is now being said by the Director of National Intelligence, having not heard it until Gamergate a few years ago. It's like, oh, that term has obviously grown.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sympathetic spokesman and other means to influence to try to build on its wide range of operations and exacerbate social and political fissures in the United States. There should be no doubt that Russia perceives that its past efforts as successful and views the 2018 U.S. midterm elections as a potential target for Russian influence operations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how successful they're actually going to be. Because
here's the thing about bot accounts and places like Twitter and Facebook. It's actually, if you know how to do it, it's actually fairly easy to determine if they're a bot or not, or if they're like a fake account. Basically, you just find out from
look at their IP address and see if
Their IP address. And if it turns out it's like somewhere in bumfuck Eastern Europe, it's usually they're going by like an American name with like a stock photo.
Yeah.
If you look at their username, it's usually some name and then like numbers after it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually like very generic.
Yeah.
The point I was trying to make, though, is what they did in 2016 has actually kind of lit a fire under people at this point.
Yeah.
So in 2018, I think they're going to be a little bit more aware, and voter turnout is actually going to be higher.
Yeah.
So you're looking at the potential of both the House and the Senate completely flipping.
Yeah.
In the middle of
it. And as for, checking out where these bot accounts are from, whatever, all you guys out there who are good with putting out internet graphics and stuff, put out some infographics that will teach people to successfully identify where these are coming from.
Twitter sort of did that thing where they sent people an email saying, hey, you had an interaction with a Russian bot at some point.
It's like, yeah.
If you actually told them what it was, maybe even if you are able to do that sort of when you ban those bots, that would be a lot more helpful to people. Just like at some point in the last year, you talked to a Russian bot. I'm like, okay, I don't know how to react to that.
Yeah, Facebook did the same thing too. It's like,
There's one interesting thing here, sort of if you want to see what the major problem with all of this is. Senator Angus King urged the intelligence community to persuade President Trump to accept their conclusion that Russia interfered in the 2016 election and continues to threaten future elections. Mm-hmm. He said, my problem is I talk to people in Maine who say the whole thing is a witch hunt and a hoax because, quote, the president told me.
Yeah.
I just wish you all could persuade the president as a matter of national security to separate these two issues. The collusion issue is over here, unresolved. We'll get to the bottom of that. But there's no doubt, as you all have testified today, we cannot confront this threat, which is a serious one, with a whole of government response when the leader of the government continues to deny it exists.
Yeah.
No, that's one thing from
but folks, the
as head in the sand.
Yeah. You know, as the old thing goes, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. So, it's going into the midterms, you need to be a little bit smarter out there and just pay attention to where your facts are coming from.
Yeah.
Think about it. Don't, if something seems too good to be true, don't fall for it. Make sure and source that shit. Just be smart. Yeah. And now in some other stupid news, apparently the Trump administration has decided that they want to replace food stamps with boxes of food instead.
Is food stamps one of those dog whistle issues for this, for the GOP especially?
Yeah, pretty much.
That seems like one of the
things. First of all, they're not called food stamps. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. They haven't been food stamps for over a decade.
Yeah, they are.
They're called SNAP. It's the SNAP program. And most of the time, they're used by basically MasterCards, not actual stamps or paper. Yeah. So that's the first thing right off the bat. Second of all, this actually cost even more money than just regular SNAP.
Yeah, because you can't just put it on an account. You have to actually mail it to people.
You have to mail it. There's you got to ship it. Yeah.
It's one of my former places I worked at used to just mail out all of the paychecks.
Yeah.
Then they realized a few months in, we're fucking wasting all this money on postage. Instead of just handing it to anybody that's here on payday or that comes to us.
Or we just, you know, they got a checking account and we can just...
Direct deposit.
Direct deposit, you know.
Yeah, especially when you're mailing food, stuff that's heavy.
Mm-hmm. Stuff that's perishable.
Yeah, stuff that, let's say, people are allergic to any of these things that they say is going to
be... You're also basically going to even... Because here's the other thing about it. Most of these boxes of food are basically canned goods.
Yeah.
And what's one of the major problems with canned goods? Sodium.
Yeah.
And what does a lot of sodium cause? High blood pressure.
Yeah. So what's going to be in these boxes? They're going to call them the USDA America's Harvest Box. It contains shelf-stable milk, juice, grains, cereals, pasta, peanut butter, beans, canned meat, poultry, or fish. And canned fruits and vegetables.
And I'm guessing the cheese is in there too, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It says the box would be valued about half of what SNAP recipients get monthly. Mm-hmm. So the rest of it will go on their benefit cards. Which is like, you could save a lot of money, just put the other half on there.
Yeah, just, like I want to repeat... This is not going to save any money.
No, this is a dumb idea.
Going to cost the taxpayers even more money than just regular SNAP. Look, I understand, you know, I know that on occasion you've got that one random asshole who can use SNAP benefits to buy something like lobster or whatever. And to be completely honest, I don't actually mind that very much. But here's the thing. No matter what they use that on, it's not going to change the amount of money that goes into it.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still got a finite amount that they've got to use. This is literally going to increase costs. It's just, he is a stupid man. He is a stupid, stupid man.
Yeah, they kept bringing up, like, Blue Apron and these other sort of specific programs for that... Various companies that have started up in the past couple of years.
So yeah.
They just send you the ingredients for whatever meals that they're going to send you. And the weird thing is the scale is so much smaller. I think Blue Apron has 1 million people subscribing to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this
really
would...
on a national scale.
Yeah, this would cover about 38 million people.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't think Blue Apron actually makes money yet.
No, they don't. Yeah.
Because they're obviously...
They're still a startup.
Yeah. Still a startup and also doing all this stuff in specific proportions is also a lot more expensive than just, here's a bag of cheese and, you know, flour and that.
Yeah. You know what the worst part about this is? What really pisses me off? And I'm sorry, I know we're staying on the subject probably longer than we really should, but... Yeah. Have you ever known anybody who's had to go on SNAP for a little while? Because I have. Not me personally, but I've known friends, families who've had to go on it for a little while.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, your options are limited. You know, like I said, you've only got a finite amount, so you got to spread that shit out week by week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've known people who were Army veterans who had to do that shit, and it sucks, man.
You know who else is pissed off by this whole proposal?
Who?
The retailers.
Yeah, I'm not shocked.
It's like, hey, we are proud to support these people.
Yeah.
At least offer them, like, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club, these other places. And it's like, yeah, you're taking money out of their numbers as well.
Yeah, it takes money out of the community, too. So
yeah. Like,
it's just a bad idea all around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, hey, the whole thing about government is cutting unnecessary things. It's what Republicans mm-hmm. are supposed to be into.
Yeah.
This is just a huge waste of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, what if your stuff gets stolen?
Yeah, then you're
screwed. That's the whole point of the card is you get it, and then they just put the money on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuts out the fraud.
Anyway, moving on. We got some sports news. A Seattle group has filed their application for an NHL expansion franchise. And Patrick, of course, he had to bow out earlier, but this is what he says. He says, this guarantees that they begin play in 2019-2020. I'll fill two of my previously stated three prerequisites. I'm very bad with that word. Prerequisites, which are, you know, parentheses, ownership and a building. The NHL, wanting the market more than any other, makes up the rest.
Yeah, so I guess this group specifically includes David Bonderman, a billionaire,
mm-hmm.
and Hollywood producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Hmm.
So there's some big names on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're planning a renovation of the Key Arena, $600 million, and the $10 million fee for the league application as well. Yeah, 56-year-old arena, that's pretty old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could use a little bit of renovation, yeah. But between 2019 and 2020 to start up, yeah, I think they could make
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah, it says here they're aiming for 2020-21.
Hmm.
And I imagine if this actually goes through, they're not going to make the same mistake that they did with Las Vegas, which is give them a huge advantage by the expansion draft.
Yeah.
Because they're apparently doing really well, way better than any other expansion team, because they actually got good players from the other teams.
Yeah.
They were only given so many slots to reserve their people. And so that meant some actual good players went through.
Mm-hmm. So good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next up, Louise Linton. She put out an L profile that it didn't do a great job of making her more relatable. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so BuzzFeed here has sort of jot down the key points for this. Let's see, where's it start at? Yeah, she's married to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin,
mm-hmm.
Who you might recognize from the villainous photos of them holding sheets of money as they were being printed. So, yeah, she also wrote about her nightmare gap year in Zambia. She was, which not good. It's sort of like those articles you see, like, oh, I paid back all of my my college tuition thanks to this great tip. And tip ends up always being, I got a bunch of money from my parents. It's like, oh, I've just taken all. And you can do it, too, by just having rich parents.
She is just bourgeois trash to the core.
Yeah.
And she obviously got into that weird tiff on Instagram when she kept hashtagging her parts of her outfit
mm-hmm.
to seemingly make sure you knew that she had a bunch of expensive stuff on. We were like, are we paying for all this? She went, I've done more for like for this country than you have ever done. It's like, oh, fuck off.
Bitch. Bitch.
This isn't even the stuff she talked about. She so SoulCycle is her temple. She says that makes her an extremely regular person.
Mm-hmm.
SoulCycle classes are $34 per class.
Yeah.
So she's always wearing the SoulCycle clothes, which I looked it up. It's like $100 for a sweatshirt. So
mm-hmm.
regular people stuff. She grew up in an actual castle in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's Melville Castle. It's not an actual castle, but it's mm-hmm. called a regular people things.
Yeah.
See, getting called deplorable on Instagram hurt her feelings, and she started the fight because she was, quote, feeling like a regular person. So that Instagram thing I was talking about.
Totally.
I was feeling like a regular person, Linton said, and regular people, when someone says something mean to you on social media, regular people are allowed to respond. Like, yeah, you're allowed to respond, but don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Elitist asshole. Her favorite film of the year was Crazy Stupid Love. Okay.
We don't care.
One time she befriended a homeless man named Richard because, quote, because she was concerned about the health of his dog. Not the man, I guess.
No, just not the man. Just the dog.
She paid for the dog's vet bill, but obviously didn't give any of the money to him.
Richard, God, I want to stab this bitch so bad.
She's on Snapchat, and her press rep found that out exactly when the rest of us did. To quote the L piece, I didn't even know she had a Snapchat. Her press rep says, faintly concerned. She thinks President Trump is nice and so charming. She also thinks Vice President Pence is, quote, the most gentle, lovely, wonderful, smart, kind, and Ivanka Trump is incredibly bright, brilliant, gifted, thoughtful, kind, generous, and very, very elegant. She's good at her thesaurus. When Linton first got to Washington, she decided she, quote, should be more fashionable. I was tagging things on Instagram because I thought I had seen other actresses doing that, and I was like, I should do that too. She said, I should be more fashionable. I need to play that role. I need to be more elegant. I need to be more stylish. I look at amazing fashion icons like Jackie O, and I'm like, why can't I wear gloves? She said. And she really, really wants to wear those gloves again. She's talking about from that picture, the money picture.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I really hope someday I can wear that outfit again. She said, because I really liked it.
You know, there are a few people that I will say I have a deep loathing for, but I think she's kind of right up there.
Yeah, totally normal person. Oh, like everybody else.
Yes. Somebody shoot me. Or her.
Yeah. But, somebody shoot her.
Yeah, I saw people going through her like schooling, like where she went to school, and it's like, oh, she went to, this specific college, it's like Pepperdine or something like that. That is very much a preppy rich person school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't want to do much work.
Mm. Yeah.
She's got the not doing much work part down.
And she got a journalism degree from a law school.
Mm.
Like an LA law school, so she could stay in LA and then appear to have a meaningful degree. To her mom, so they wouldn't cut her off. That like sort of weird stuff. And it's like, yeah that kind of sounds like what this person would do.
Yeah. All right, I got. I don't talk about her anymore. She's just.
Yeah, just. All right. Next, we got some news out of Australia. Australia has now banned ministers from having sex with their staff after the recent Barnaby Joyce scandal. You would have thought that this would have been...
Should be common sense.
Yeah, but apparently not.
Yeah, says a lot about politicians in Australia that, we gotta actually put this into law because we can't trust you people.
Mm-hmm.
If you know Barnaby Joyce, you probably know him from the Johnny Depp scandal where he brought two of his dogs with him to Australia to film whatever Pirates movie it was. And he was the politician that was yelling about, we're just going to kill those dogs if you don't get them out of here. And it's like, fucking calm down. I know you have strict rules against bringing outside animals, but these are fucking dogs. Mm-hmm. Help them get them out of here instead of threatening to kill the dogs. Like, you really want to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. Turnbull announced the ban at the end of a parliamentary week dominated by controversy over Joyce's relationship with a former staffer, Vicky Campion, which began when Sydney's Daily Telegraph published a front-page photograph effectively confirming the end of Joyce's 24-year marriage, Campion's pregnancy. So he basically had an affair, one of his staffers got her pregnant, and his wife was not happy at all. The Prime Minister said on Thursday his deputy had made, quote, a shocking error of judgment and created a world of woe for the women in his life. He said Joyce was taking some personal leave to reflect and seek forgiveness from his former wife and four daughters and make a new home for his partner and their baby. So he's effectively leaving his wife of 24 years for this new woman.
Yeah. And now there's a law on the books banning, well, politicians from having sex with their staffers. So,
which you would have been thought would have been something we didn't need to do. But, well, you know, that it would have been common sense.
I do like that Australia will actually put this stuff in writing just to make it abundantly clear, unlike some countries that just leave stuff nebulous. So even if it does seem like common sense, it does make a lot of sense in some contexts. Yeah.
All right, next story. This is from Finland. Finland has actually urged the European Union to get rid of daylight savings times. And apparently the EU has actually considered abolishing it.
God, I hope so.
Because it's...
If they do an actual abolition of it, and then, they actually go with it and follow through, it could spread to the rest of the world, and maybe, you know...
A stupid practice could finally be put aside.
Yeah, because it's dumb.
Yeah, especially when it came from the Germans in World War I.
Yeah, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, the one thing that the Kaiser did that somehow stuck around.
Yeah.
It's especially nice here in the U.S. where there are a number of states that don't even follow the rule.
No.
Arizona doesn't do it at all. So when I lived there, ESPN Sports Center would air at 5 o'clock for half the year and at 6 o'clock the other half.
Yeah.
So, because you went back from Pacific to what, Mountain Standard Time? It's like, this is just annoying.
So, yeah, but let's hope this goes away. I know that time zones in general do have to exist, but, you know, let's get rid of the DST and start simplifying things a little bit, please.
Yeah, because studies generally suggest we don't really get much out of it.
No, it actually kills people.
Yeah. Kills people.
Yeah.
It potentially uses either a negligible amount of energy, but definitely doesn't save any.
Nope.
And it's just annoying, especially when just trying to write it. It's like, I just ignore the S or the D because I don't know what it is. I just say Eastern time or Pacific time.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Yep.
You figure out what you're on and be happy with that.
Yeah.
But, now here's another story. This one's out of England. Somebody managed to find an unexploded World War II bomb somewhere in the Thames.
And this was near the London City Airport.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how many people are happy to have their flights delayed.
Yeah. It's holy crap.
This bomb didn't even go off. What the fuck?
Bomb sitting there in a river. It could have gone off at any time. Been sitting there for years.
Yeah, 1.5 meter long German bomb dropped during World War I or World War II. Mm-hmm. Never exploded. 500 kilograms discovered at the King George V dock on Sunday during planned work at the airport. They obviously closed the airport. All flights were canceled on Monday. And I believe anybody in the subway and all that also had their stuff delayed or canceled. And they managed to take it out of the river. Mm-hmm. It was found in a bed of silt 15 meters underwater. So not even an easy thing to find either.
Hmm.
Yeah. They took it about a mile off the coast of Essex and exploded it. And right, everything kind of went back to normal.
It was still viable after all those years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is not, yeah, this is not as rare as you might think, especially when you consider the fact the just sheer amount of ordnance that the Wehrmacht dropped on, dropped on London during the Blitz.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say this is about it's the fourth bomb of this size they have found in the last 15 months.
Hmm. Yep.
And they say that about 10% of the bombs that Germany dropped over UK did not explode.
Hmm. Mm.
But obviously they don't have hard details to know how many that might be.
Yeah. They're still going to be finding these for years, I suspect.
Yeah, they say most of the bombs are buried deep and often initially discovered by construction workers because they're actually digging in that direction. Which I imagine... Mm-hmm. That's I got to go to the bathroom now. So I just shit myself.
It's like, clang, what is that? Bye.
Oh, I'm going to take my break now.
Yeah. All right. So next story is either really sad or a piece of karmic justice, no matter how, depending on which way you look at it. But a poacher was killed by a pride of lions in South Africa, specifically on a game reserve.
Mm. Yep, they only found the head. The head with a loaded gun next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Poacher, right?
So, they believe he's a poacher.
Mm. Yeah.
Obviously don't have any identification.
Pretty sure the gun was probably a tip-off.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're pretty sure, but you never know. It'd be unfortunate for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, they got a meal.
Yeah. The lions ate well that day, and, potentially the world has been removed of one less douchebag, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, now we got another just weird... Okay, so, guy who was a fan of a couple of YouTubers apparently really fucked in the head. He got a gun, and he actually broke into their home attempting to kill them.
He failed. Drove 700 miles from New Mexico to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
January 26th, this happened at 3:40 a.m. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of night as well. This involved Gavin Free, who one of the co-owners of Slow Mo Guys, as well as working at Rooster Teeth. He was there with his girlfriend, who's also a YouTuber. They hid in their bedroom closets when they heard the noise as he broke in. Dialed 911. Apparently, it took him about 4 minutes to get there, so really fast response time. Which I imagine might be because it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
They probably don't have a ton to do. Especially in a place like Austin, Texas, where I assume there's not too much in the way of rowdy people there. Giles is the guy who did this. Christopher Giles, he shot inside their home, was looking for them, couldn't find them, returned to his car as the police officers were there. Shot was fired from inside Giles' car. One officer returned fire. A few minutes later, they found him dead. They're still doing examinations to figure out if he shot himself or if one of the policemen's shots got him. It sort of highlights how people on YouTube, Twitch, whatnot that talk a lot about their real life, they maybe put out too much information, lets people think, oh, I need to meet these people, or I need to kill these people, that sort of thing. There have been other stories about YouTubers or Twitch streamers having fans actually find out where they live and appear at their doors and whatnot, which always scares the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you should honor their privacy. At the very least, ask if you could come by.
Yeah.
If you somehow figure out where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they found, police describe him as single, lonely, and disturbed. Had notes on his phone, led officers to believe he wanted to harm Gavin Free. Threatening thoughts were recorded by Giles and directed towards Gavin Free, i.e., allowing Gavin to die alone with no children. An Austin police officer police detective wrote in the affidavit. So, yeah.
This guy is messed up, or was, because now he's dead.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, these two did not make this public knowledge until this story came out.
Hmm.
So they definitely were not exploiting it or anything like, say, other people that we've seen recently on YouTube and Twitch who, when bad things happen to them in personal lives, try to make it a big part of their channel so that everybody keeps, you know, clicking on their videos and whatnot, watching them making money to exploit their personal issues and Dr. Disrespect.
Wonderful. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, yes. Okay, so Winter Olympics in Korea. And it's good stuff, but let's be honest here. The best thing to come out of those Olympics, it's the penis head statues.
Yeah, these are actually in the Olympic Village.
Yep.
They're called Bullet Men. Or they're called the Bullet Man. It's sort of a naked man with some sort of, I don't know what you call it on top, like a big helmet that stretches over their head. I guess sort of like an old diving suit with their arms at their sides, like they're just standing there. I guess the message was somehow being a tribute to guys with good bodies. I don't know. They were put up like 2009, something like that. But basically, Japan and the rest of the internet loves these things and have been creating memes. There are a bunch of examples in this article. There's a video up at the top that's a nice dancing video of these guys. Obviously censored because Japan can't show the dong.
Yeah.
Various other pictures of people cosplaying these things. I saw one, Diglett, the Pokemon, had the face photoshopped over the heads of these guys. Somebody created Lego versions of these guys. There is another drawing here of this Bullet Man meme evokes the warrior spirit of old times with the statue riding a dragon with a human head. There's a latte with the Bullet Man drawn on top of it. Somebody created a like a felt Bullet Man, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of others. I guess during the opening ceremony, there was this robot fire penis that emerged out of the ground that lit the torch. That was a very weird thing. But yeah, if you look on Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot, you can find a bunch more of these memes of these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. And one of the weird things I found out is they actually have a park in South Korea that just has penis statues, like actual penis statues.
And amongst other things.
Yeah. And that's also a big
So I know what he's talking about. It's basically like a small, like, quote unquote theme park that's basically entirely dedicated to erotic sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see pictures of it online. It's, I just wish we had something like it in the US. I really do.
Yeah. But yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we do.
No, you don't. The U.S. isn't comfortable with sexuality in any form. So you're not going to see public
things. Yeah, we do have a weird complex about it. Yeah. But
violence? No problem. Sex?
Yeah, no, but this would be art.
Yeah. But next up is also involving the Winter Olympics. So, of course, you have the skating competitions, and one pair for their free skate finals actually used Disturbed's cover of The Sound of Silence.
Yeah, it's there's a video here. It's pretty weird to hear Disturbed at the Olympics. I guess this was the first year they allowed songs with vocals as part of their performances, though it had to be in, like, the finals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess a French figure skater performed to Beyoncé's 2011 hit signal, a single, Run the World, Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I forget specifically what that song is. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
This, I like the song, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not sure how well it fits with the figure skating routine, but okay, if that's
what
they wanted to do.
Yeah, I ended up looking up this song on their YouTube channel. It might be one of their most popular songs on there. It's 344 million hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the most popular video on the Team Coco channel for Conan O'Brien is him performing that.
Yeah.
Live. Them performing it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like 76 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn. People like Simon and Garfunkel, except not when they do it.
Well, there have been a few covers of that song, and that's the first one that Simon and Garfunkel have actually said, God damn, that's really good.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, we got a story out of Stockport, which is in the where UK. Is that UK? Okay.
Yeah.
So they've lifted this ban on an 83-year-old crosswalk guard who was giving high fives to the kids that were crossing.
Yeah, they banned him from high fiving kids.
Yeah. So these guys, they call them the Lollipop Man because, you know, he has the crossing guard sign, and crossing guard sign looks like he's holding a giant lollipop.
Yep.
For whatever reason, a short time ago, the city council decided to ban him from doing it because they thought it distracted him from his job. So he's been doing this job for like 14 years.
Yeah.
And
when you're doing a job that long, especially something like this, I think you've got a pretty good sense of if there's any danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can multitask with this sort of thing, especially when the multitasking is just, I'm going to hold out my hand so this kid can high-five me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, I've never had a child hurt in 14 years. I've never been hurt myself. If they sack me, it's fair enough. That's their business.
Mm.
But yeah, they came back and enough people complained to them about this stupid rule. They said, following the recent reports surrounding Stockport Council's Lollipop Man, Colin Spencer, we want to apologize for unnecessary concern caused by the issuing of an instruction that was clearly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they lifted it.
Good.
Seems like this might be the most British news possible.
Yeah, pretty
people
much.
Concerned about an old man high-fiving kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, better than the alternative, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, next up, now we got a new toy for people that like to pop pimples. It's called the Poppet Pal, and it's basically a slab of material that looks like a piece of human flesh with little pimples in it, and you can press down on those pimples, and when you do, it shoots fluid out. Like this is something you can buy now.
Yeah, it's $20. Like, if you need replacement material, it's $6 for a little can of it. It's a very weird thing.
Yeah, I have no words. I have none. This is one of those things that you have to ask yourself. Could they have maybe spent their time researching something else?
It's apparently selling pretty well.
Of course it is.
And I guess they're donating a portion of the profits to their daughter's anti-bullying charity, which is called Kids Against Bullying, and that's kids with a Z.
Well, good on them, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one weird toy. It just looks disturbing to me.
And now for the feel-good story of the night. A NASA study has discovered that sea level rise to global warming is accelerating.
Yay. Yep.
Yeah, so this covers, let's see, their projections of what will happen by 2100.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to projections that assume a constant rate of sea level rise. It increases about 26 inches compared to what the city level rise would be. Think about that, it's a little over 2 feet.
Yep.
That's basically enough to take out a number of coastal cities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time 2100 arrives, I'll probably be long dead, so it's not going to matter much.
Yeah, me too. So,
but still, we have a lot of major cities on the coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Canada's a little bit safer for the most part.
Mm.
You got some, but a lot of yours are concentrated in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
United
we said,
States,
hey,
however,
we got all this coast. Let's put some stuff.
Well, California will disappear. So.
Yeah, California, New Orleans will be gone.
New Orleans will disappear. New York might have issues.
Houston, Miami, Washington, D.C., New York, Boston. I forget what other ones. San Francisco.
Well, if San Francisco disappears, I think that's okay.
Yeah, well, by that point, they're going to have the San Andreas earthquake.
Oh, yeah. So we'll
they're going to be in the ocean.
Be in the ocean anyway.
Now, as we always have to point out, the thing about these studies is this is only effective if we do this. This is only going to be the actual events if we do nothing.
Yeah, that's what the studies are for, to point out what can happen so that we can make corrections.
Remember, these are global warming is primarily a result of human endeavor, and human endeavor can help solve it.
Right.
Okay, so it's like the same thing with, like, people are saying that freshwater reserves are going to run out by 2030.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's only if we don't start taking steps now.
Yeah.
If we take steps now, we'll extend it a good deal. So
yeah.
The reason I say that, and I try to say this whenever we have one of these stories on here, is because to a small extent it's kind of easy to fall into sort of despair and fatalism because of the stuff like this. But you can do stuff about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Like the Director of National Intelligence story, the big problem is the top person doesn't believe this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But remember, their position is finite.
Yeah. I want to say I saw a story recently that the EU is essentially pressuring Trump to not leave the Paris Agreement by essentially promising to block any country that does not agree with it from trade deals with the EU.
Yep.
Which Trump's already been pissed about those sorts of deals anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks they're all rip-offs because he is really good at deal making.
Oh yeah, he's so good. Anyway,
can't even pass laws when they have control of both houses of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, and next up, Apple now has a new headquarters, a new building for the headquarters.
Yeah.
And on that new headquarters, they've got a pair of glass doors that go into the building.
Yeah, they have glass everywhere.
Yeah, glass walls.
And the problem is Apple employees just can't stop running into them.
Yeah, because the thing about a glass door is that it's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to tell whether it's open or not.
Especially when
they don't have
handles. You got the walls. And you got glass walls all around them.
Yeah.
When everything's glass, it's hard to tell what's glass.
Yeah.
So they've got
a bunch of
here
people
of,
every day just walking into doors.
Yeah, because they're also looking at their phones as they're going in.
Oh, of course. looking at their iPhones, no doubt.
Yeah. Hmm. And I guess they've also had to call in emergency vehicles to get people treated for cuts and hits to the head and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. This is why design over function is not a good idea.
Yeah, and I guess also some nice notes. It even got bad enough that employees began using Post-its to mark where the walls are. but the sticky notes were poorly moved, quote, because they detracted from the building's design. So even when they tried to overcome the solution, you could tell the people that work here are probably like, God, these asshole idiots running things. We just want to fucking know where the goddamn walls are.
Yeah.
This is sort of one of the reasons I hate when the power goes out in the middle of the night. And I wake up and I'm like, I can't see anything.
Yeah.
My vision is already bad enough without my glasses. I don't need the dark making everything else harder.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the day when there's should be no issues. Yeah. But I guess that might also be a violation of city code. California laws require employees to be, quote, protected against the hazard of walking through glass by barriers or by conspicuous durable markings, which could very well apply to this.
Yeah, could. I mean, they would have to just – it would be pretty simple. Just tint them.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
You could still have the nice look.
Yeah. Just make it easy to see them.
Yeah.
Fun deck bros, dude. No. All right, so next up, the human race was officially doomed to extinction this week when Boston Dynamics' new robot dogs have shown that they can actually open the doors for each other.
Yeah, this is really cool. Yeah, they're not autonomous yet, so at least that's a thing that we don't have to worry about quite yet. But
yeah. But they're courteous.
Yeah, they hold the doors for each other. And...
They actually, you watch the animation and like actually does subtle things when trying to open this stuff.
Yeah,
the doors.
Yeah, everybody's focusing on like, oh my god, we're all doing this stuff, and it's like I have to just watch this and say, look at the range of motion that these robots have is just staggering. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Also, in dog form.
Yeah.
Which, I like dogs. I don't want robot dogs. They creep me out.
Oh.
You're a dog without all the fuzzy bits.
Well, they could put fuzzy bits on them.
That would probably look even worse. Like when they try to do dogs in like stop motion.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not a real dog. That's not how a fur works.
Yeah.
That's evil.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I, for one, welcome our robot dog overlords.
I'm right there with you.
I swear allegiance to you from your squishy, squishy subjects.
I will create my new remote-activated doors. No handles anymore.
Well, if there's anything Five Nights at Freddy's have taught us, those remote-activated doors can only stay closed for so long.
Yeah.
That's why I'll ban all Chuck E. Cheese.
They don't even use the animatronics anymore at Chuck E. Cheese, I've heard.
Nope, they got rid of them.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's basically a giant kitty casino now. So. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I'll ban all Disney animatronics. I don't want that Trump coming after me.
Right. And now for the movie portion of the show. First things first, Sony was offered the movie rights to all of Marvel's characters all the way back in 1998. Thank God they didn't take them up on it.
$25 million. And I guess the unnamed big shot at Sony reportedly claimed that, quote, nobody gives a shit about any of the other Marvel characters. Talking about everybody but Spider-Man. So they agreed to Spider-Man alone for $10 million. Which this was Marvel as they were coming out of bankruptcy in the 90s.
Yeah.
Being desperate to bring in money any way they could.
Mm-hmm.
So, well.
Now they've got money out the ass.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're owned by the mouse, so...
Yep.
So this could have gone very badly for us if Sony had been smart enough to buy that character rights. We would have had lots of sucky Marvel movies. But we only got sucky Spider-Man movies, so I guess that's a net positive.
Yep.
And
well,
I would say the worst deal was probably the X-Men deal.
Yeah, with Fox, yeah.
Because that just keeps going, and it keeps expanding as well, because there's a lot of X-Men characters, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of X-Men characters.
So. There are so many X-Men characters.
Yeah.
In fact, I think like one-third of the entire Marvel comic universe is just X-Men characters.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to be interesting to see when they finally get that all folded into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's half of the superheroes in the world that somehow we didn't know existed.
Their existence before.
Where have you been in this world that's been threatened by every other huge baddie in the galaxy?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Deadpool to be the one that breaks the fourth wall and just starts having fun with that.
Yeah, but so next up, we now get our first look at Cobra Kai, which is coming to YouTube Red very soon.
Don't care.
Yeah, just...
just nope. So much nope.
Seriously, those... I'm going to be completely honest. The first Karate Kid was a fluke.
Yeah.
The rest that came afterwards just
were bad.
Yeah.
And then the
I mean Pat Morita can only carry that movie carry that franchise for so long.
Yeah. And what's his name there? The Jada Smith there did the reboot.
Jada Pinkett Smith, yeah. How can mirrors be real if her eyes aren't real?
Yeah. Just nope. So this is coming to YouTube Red, and you can watch it if you have YouTube Red for some reason.
Yeah, that seems like the biggest issue.
I don't, and I don't think nobody else I know does.
Yeah.
Which just means everybody's just going to pirate it instead of paying up for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a similar situation to the Star Trek show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've got one new thing for your paid service. And it's the one thing people want because you're trying to... treated like a hostage negotiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It actually worked for them, so that's probably going to continue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. And finally, our ultimate story of the night, the Batman Ninja anime movie, coming to the U.S. April 24th.
Yeah, they got the trailer in here, and it looks pretty good.
Yep. It is fucking amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting talent on this. The producer is Junpei Mizuzaki of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fame.
Yep.
He's directed this. See, character designs from Afro Samurai creator Takashi Okazaka. Story is penned by Kazuki Nakashima. It's Gurren Lagann.
He's done a shit ton of stuff. That dude by himself is actually really... But he's probably going to be, like, the big reason I watch this, because he is... He also did Kill la Kill. And some other amazing shit. He is, like, the king of, like, over-the-top quality anime.
Yeah. And I guess the story here is that Gorilla Grodd has created Time Displacement Machine, which transports... the Joker and a bunch of the other villains back to feudal Japan alongside Batman and his crew. And they kind of take over things the villains do.
Yeah, so and they're using it so that they can basically change the flow of time, basically.
Yeah, and Batman kind of has to rethink how he's going to take this on because he doesn't have the Batmobile or any of his other high-tech gear.
Nope.
And yeah, there's a lot of voice talent since they've got all the English language stuff. Roger Craig Smith is Batman. Tony Hale is the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Griffin, Catwoman. Tara Strong is reprising Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. Fred DeTaschior is Gorilla Grodd and Deathstroke. Yuri Lowenthal is Robin. Adam Crosdell is Nightwing and Alfred. Will Friedle is Red Robin and Red Hood. Tom Kenny is Penguin, and Eric Laza is Two-Face.
Yep. It looks freaking amazing.
This is a movie. It's not a series, is it?
No, it's a film.
Okay, so
it's like a CG anime as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
This one up.
Yeah, so it's going to digital on April 24th, and then gets a physical release on May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Batman Ninja.
Yeah.
Seems like...
And Batman takes up a sword. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, yep. That seems like a Japan name. It's Batman, yeah. He's a ninja. Batman Ninja.
Batman Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Looks awesome. I'm going to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
$20 for the Blu-ray. That's a pretty good price.
Okay.
Yep.
You have to wait till May 8th, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do believe we got a show, folks. So I would like to remind our listeners that if you have a question, have something to write into the show you want us to read on the air, you can write into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of iTunes, you can see our little unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and any place where fine little audio horn swaggles like ours are, well, not sold, but you get the idea. So, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris DeLoggia, I'd like to say good night.